an apparent pause before the next budget crisis. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. We'll look at what markets think of an expected House vote to raise the debt limit and the job market for ninjas. American markets are closed for the MLK holiday, but traders were at work around the globe today, and they had key news to trade on. So let's take a look with Julia Coronado. She is chief economist at BNP Paribas in New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
There's news this morning of an expected House vote on Wednesday to increase the debt limit for 3 months. So that means at least a delay in a big budget clash between Republicans and the White House. How are markets going to react to this?
Well, I think it's really good news that we're not going to the brink of U.S. government default over fiscal policy. But as you know, it doesn't make the upcoming discussions over fiscal policy any less divisive or contentious. And that's been a problem because uncertainty over these policies has been one thing holding the economy back.
And we are in the midst of earnings season. So talk about that uncertainty you speak of. How do companies look at that?
Well, we've seen companies be excessively cautious in this recovery. They're focused on hoarding cash and protecting market share rather than expanding, investing, and hiring. And hopefully, as we resolve some of these fiscal uncertainties and continue to move forward, some of those uncertainties will ease and we'll start to see companies become a bit more growth-oriented.
And quickly, we do have a couple of housing indicators coming out next week. What are you looking to learn about the housing market?
Well, the housing recovery has become one of the best sources of news on the U.S. economy. It really does look like housing has turned a corner, and that's extremely good news. That's what took us into the crisis. That's what's been holding us back to a large degree. So I think the fact that we are turning a corner there is some of the best news we've had.
Okay, Julia Coronado of BNP Paribas, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Airlines want their elite flyers happy because they buy the most expensive tickets. If lines get too long or lounges too packed, super travelers go elsewhere. So Delta's trying a new strategy, make elite eliter. Marketplace's David Weinberg explains.
Hunter Hughes has been a loyal Delta customer for over 30 years. He flies to Austria and the Czech Republic for work, often in business class, which is great. His only complaint, it's too crowded.
I welcome thinning the herd. I really, really do.
The problem, says Hughes, is the way Delta is thinning the herd.
They're making it really hard, not just for the people that are working the system, but also for the regular folks.
Under the new system, many of Hughes's international flights will no longer count towards his elite status, and there are new spending requirements. To reach platinum status, for example, he will have to spend $7,500 on top of acquiring 75,000 miles. Brian Kelly runs the frequent flyer blog, The Points Guy. In fact, he is The Points Guy.
Delta has led the pack in terms of giving away free or almost free elite status. So it is interesting to see this about face in their strategy.
Delta hopes their loyal customers will still fly Delta even if they're not as elite as they used to be, and that the new policy will draw new frequent flyers looking for a better elite experience. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
There's no box for ninja at the employment office, but it is a real job, if not the best career path. They do exist, but their numbers are small, and the gigs are just part-time these days. With a look at the ninja job market, the BBC's Mariko Oi reports from Japan.
The ninjas were all about mystery. Their black outfits usually covered everything but their eyes, leaving them virtually invisible in shadow. Until, that is, they use their killer moves against their targets.
That's the sound of a shuriken or ninja star, one of the best-known weapons used by ninja. They're sharp and flat. You won't even hear the sound of it until it actually kills you.
63-year-old Jinichi Kawakami is the 21st head of the Ban family. His clan is one of the most famous, but that doesn't mean he's a full-time ninja.
I am a trained engineer, and I worked for a company for many years. Why? Because you cannot make a living being a ninja. And from the very beginning, ninja had day jobs.
As you can imagine, most of ninja's missions were covert, and there are very few official documents. That's why filmmakers as well as novelists and comic artists use their wild imagination to create the ninja myth. Hollywood movies have mostly portrayed them as superhumans who could run on water or disappear in the blink of an eye.
That's impossible, because no matter how much you train, ninjas are still human beings. So I don't want to tell ninja fans that what they think of us is wrong. But I also want them to have accurate information about our clan's heritage.
Mr. Kawakami admits that traditional ninja skills have little place in today's world, where guns have replaced shuriken and spying and sabotage are best done on the internet. He's decided not to take on a protege, so as the last few true ninja die out, their legacy will be less about assassination and more about entertainment. In Tokyo, I'm Marie Koi for Marketplace.
And finally, wealthy crime fighters take note. $4.6 million is the going rate for a Batmobile. That's what Batman's car from the 1960s TV version went for at auction over the weekend. The car's creator sold it. It was made from a 1955 Lincoln Futura concept car. I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.